Hey everybody, welcome to my world. How's your world doing? Has it been as crazy as mine? I'll tell you what, it's been a crazy day. It's been a crazy week. And the good thing is it's hump day. So at least we can enjoy that. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to my world right here on the Trim Radio Network. And we have a guest tonight. We're going to be talking again more about data centers and something about the environment. And from there, who knows? We'll talk about a lot of different stuff. I've got a little comedy in there before we get into the serious stuff. But before we do that, we have to do our disclaimer. So nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And did you bring your drink, your favorite snack, or you're comfy in your chair? I'll give you a second to get there. And hey, tell your friends about the show because we're live every Wednesday right here on the Trim Radio Network. Oh, before we get going here, we always have to talk about a few things. And I'm going to have to talk about the Trim Radio Network because I'll tell you what, a lot of people always ask me, they say, well, you're doing these shows on Trim Radio Network. Well, what is it? Well, it's a bunch of collaborators. And we get together and we do our own shows, and you can join us too and do your own show too. All you have to do is hit on that red dot over here on the right. And when you do that, it comes up, put your name in, your phone number, and say, I want to know about more about doing my own show right here on the Trim Radio Network. That's all you have to do. And then all you have to do is just click on the blue bar at the bottom and send your message. We'll get back to you. Okay? It's very easy to do. Well, anyhow, who makes up this crazy collaboration here? Well, let's get this removed. There we go. We have Michael Bejas, and he's responsible for the overall vision, mission, and leadership of the entire company. And we have Roscalis Stefan. He's the chief operating officer, and he's responsible for the day-to-day operational management of the network. And he's a computer guru. I mean, this guy knows a lot about computers, fantastic person. And of course, then there's me, and I guess I'm the chief relationship officer, but I haven't figured that out yet. I guess I'm supposed to make people trust the shows that we put on, which they're all trustworthy, and goodwill and so forth. I'm still trying to find out what that is. Anyhow, then we also have Victoria Smith, and she's the chief marketing officer, and she's responsible for, all the marketing activities, the brand development, the audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. And what she does is she will meet with you if you want to do your own show, and she'll walk you through the whole process. Just remember, click that red button, and we'll go from there. Wow, what do we have for shows? Oh, yes, and we've been adding shows, and we can add your show too. We have Money and Change right here on Sunday at 7 p.m. Those are generally live shows, unless I'm playing a concert someplace, and the concert season hasn't started yet, so that'll probably be in probably May and June and July, and that will only be maybe one or two concerts each month. So anyhow, I'll be live generally on Sunday nights at 7, and we talk a lot about finance and how to save money and things going on in finance. And we might talk about precious metals and a bunch of other things. So check on our show. Also, we have Life Walk with Christ God. That's with Michael Bejas. He's Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then we have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Then we have Victoria Smith's Natural Marketer Podcast on Thursdays. And so if your club or your business or sorority, fraternity, whatever, if you want to get some marketing advice, get a hold of Victoria. She's fantastic. Also, we have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas. And I think football is over with, and maybe he might be talking about basketball now. Who knows? We have the Positude podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. We have Adventure Waits Around the Bend on Saturdays at 1 p.m. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, and that's on Saturdays at 1:30. And then we have the Red Pill Reality Show with Raskella Stefan, and he's on from 9 o'clock until midnight every Saturday. And I'll tell you what, he has a good show. I've been on it a few times, and he asks a lot of good questions and has a lot of good presenters. So you have to check that show out. Also, you notice we have three blank spots. Well, we have one, which is Revelation with Peter Kling. And you can check more about that later. And we also have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. And Dora's new to the whole network. And she did her first show this week. It was a fantastic show. You want to check up on her. She's on Tuesdays. So you want to check out our schedule for Tuesdays. So that's what we've got. And if you want to add your own show, all you have to do is hit that red button. That's all you have to do. The only thing we ask is you keep it clean, partner. All right. How do we pay for airtime? Well, you can buy the merchandise. And boy, do we have merchandise. We have t-shirts. We have hats. We have mugs. We have money and change t-shirts. We have money and change insulated travel mugs with a lid. We also have the ceramic mug. We also have polo shirts. We have t-shirts. Oh my God, we have another page. Actually, we've got two more pages, but I'm only going to do one more. We've got kids t-shirts. We've got other mugs. We've got a round mouse pad. You can't corner a mouse on a round mouse pad. Anyhow, we've got the Trim Creator's Dad hat. We've got that. We've got beanies. It's still cold weather. We got snow coming on the way. Try the Trim Creator Studio embroidered beanies. And if you have AirPods and you constantly lose them or they're just laying around and you want to keep things nice and neat, get the Trim Creator Studio rubber case for AirPods. You provide the AirPods and buy the case. Okay, it's $19.95. So what happens with all this money? It goes into buying for airtime because airtime isn't cheap. It is expensive. And none of our presenters get paid for doing their shows. We don't want to get paid. We want to be able to help people. And that's what we do. But to pay for airtime, you know, we're donating for airtime and selling merchandise for airtime. If you want to buy advertisement time, contact Victoria and we'll set that up because our rates are very reasonable. If you want to go ahead and donate to the shows, go ahead and do that. Contact Victoria Smith. Okay. All you have to do is hit that red button. That's all you have to do. You click on that, put in your name, phone number, and tell us what you want. Okay. That's all you have to do. Wow. What else is going on? Oh, we do have a Facebook page. And that's my artificial intelligence mug. Can you believe that? Well, anyhow, we also have down in the comment section, I have things that we'll probably cover tonight. If we don't get to everything, they will still be posted on the page. And I've just got something posted on the Woodsdale and Trenton Environmental Resistance, which is known as water. And everybody has to have water. You know, even I have water. Even my water is double filtered. And yes, it is good. I don't taste any chlorine. That's it. I don't taste any chlorine with this stuff. So anyhow, you can check our past shows and past pages and so forth there. So that's our Trim Radio work group. Now, after all of that is said and done, you know, I keep looking at different things and people say, oh, you didn't talk about the University of Findlay. Well, I am now. It's www.findlay.edu. findley.edu, located in Findlay, Ohio. It's a great NCAA Division II sports school, but it's a very good academic school too. So you want to check them out at www.findlay.edu. And they have a hazardous materials school too. So if you ever want to know about how to handle hazardous materials, they're one of a few schools in the country that actually have that courses, those courses. Something to check in on. It's a good academic school. Check them out. Located in Findlay, Ohio, right off of I-75. And Findlay is an all-American city. It's a great, great place. Great professors, great facilities. I'm partial because I went there. I also went to Xavier University too, so I'll give them a little plug. And that's located in Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay, well, so much for all of that. I think we're ready for Emma. This gal amazes me. Emma, you disappeared. You
well,
always do.
I have another yeast infection. Y'all pray for me.
Do you tend to have camel toes, Betty? Because that might be the problem.
And she goes on and on.
A few scuffs and scratches, sea pigs, butt stone, $30 OVO. Dimensions below, message for Deacon.
Is this still available?
Yes, it's still available.
Did I say it?
Please read description and see pick. It's one chair. What's the size? Will this fit?
Rule number one, don't sit next to Brenda. She's got a chair, a Stanley, and the nerve to yell at 10-year-old. Every ump is legally blind and spiritually unfazed by your hollering. Save your breath. Rule number one, don't sit next to Brenda. She's got a chair, a Stanley, and the nerve to yell at 10-year-old. Every ump is legally blind and spiritually unfazed by your hollering. Save your breath. If the coach's kid's playing short, push. He'll play short whether he can field a ball or not. Nepotism is the team mascot. Coach's kid might bat leadoff too. He's 0-27, but
I can't breathe in these spots.
Oh, yeah. What am I doing? I keep hitting buttons.
If the coach's
oh, no.
Kid's playing short, push. He'll play short whether he can field a ball or not. Nepotism is the team mascot.
Well, so much for that. I did have another thing on here. I'm going to have to get a new mouse, guys. I swear I'm going to have to get a new mouse because this thing has been changing like crazy lately, and I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's my internet. I have no idea. Wow. I had so many things planned today, and my mouse is causing problems, and my computer's speeding up and slowing down. I think I'm going to have to start looking at trying Linux. I've been reading a lot of stuff about that. It's a different operating system and it's better than Windows, supposedly. I want to make sure before I change because I've got a whole lot of stuff in Windows. Good old Microsoft stuff. Hey, you know, when we're talking about data centers and things that are going on in the news, whether it's Channel 4 in Columbus or it's Channel 12 in Cincinnati or Channel 9, I forget which one, or even in Dayton, Ohio with Channel 7, we're talking about data centers. I know we've done at least 5 different segments on data centers. It's one of the big things in the news. And it going for dinner tonight, I went down to Troy, Ohio, and on the way down, I passed a bunch of houses with the trees were all cut down today, totally cut down. And the houses are getting ready to be demolished, and that's the land for our data center. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I mean, I'm used to seeing farmland, and all of a sudden, I don't see trees. So I think the process of developing our 2 data centers that are supposed to be going in Piqua, Ohio, is in process. And I was in a meeting earlier this week, and they were talking about water usage. And one of the reasons that they picked Piqua, Ohio, was that our water plant is about 5 years old and can do about 6 million gallons a day. And the only usage that it's going to come out of the proposed data centers will be 2 million gallons a day. So we have plenty of water to use. So everybody was worried about that. And so the data is still being worked up on that. But data centers are popping up all over the place. And here's one of the things that I found today. NBC4 at 5, and this would have been out of Columbus. So watch this.
Some state lawmakers are frustrated with tax breaks given the companies building data centers in Ohio. We thank you for staying with us at 5:30. I'm Jared Smalley.
And I'm Jennifer Bullock. NBC4 State House reporter Jesse Bethay tells us about the change they want to make.
More than a decade ago, Ohio started granting tax breaks to data center companies in hopes of attracting new investments. Today, Ohio hosts almost 200 data centers, and some lawmakers think it's time for them to start paying up. In 2025, the legislature tried to repeal the sales tax exemption for data centers in the state budget. That was vetoed by Governor Mike DeWine, who argued they are essential to keep Ohio competitive in an economy dominated by technology. Senate President Rob McCauley says lawmakers are likely to target those tax breaks again.
It's a very strong possibility we would override that veto.
According to the Ohio Department of Taxation, the state is expected to waive more than $140 million this year by keeping data center tax exemptions in place. Some lawmakers say that money could be put to better use.
Ohio's on the wrong end of the data center fiscal analysis, and we need to make some changes to ensure affordability, but also to increase tax revenues that then we can use for other good purposes here in Ohio.
Now that Ohio is home to almost 200 data centers, the tax incentives might not be as necessary as they once were.
We have a wealth of resources in the state of Ohio. So it's the state of Ohio that has the upper hand to negotiate with folks who want to bring data centers in.
And as legislators debate the future of the tax exemptions, communities are growing uneasy about data centers, with some in Ohio putting moratoriums on new construction, citing concerns over the massive amounts of resources those facilities consume.
If they're going to be such major users of energy and potentially water, we need to be open to policy ideas that make sure that they pay for that cost on their own.
In vetoing the tax exemption repeal, Governor DeWine argued that data centers have brought billions in construction work to Ohio, but Democrats argue that once they are built, data centers tend to employ as few permanent workers as possible. Local for you at the State House, I'm Jesse Bethay, NBC4.
And I'm not. Anyhow, we have that going on. And I'll tell you what, I can't. My screen is going.
Residents have been forced out of their homes and businesses are closed because of a poor.
All right, internet provider, I'm going to have to spank you. I'm not into violence, guys, but this is getting ridiculous today. Anyhow, today we have Barry Blankenship is going to join us and from Water. Water. And we've also got Quentin, our good buddy. And I'll tell you what, I found out, Quentin, that you are known as Santa Claus or Santa.
Maybe there might be some truth to that.
Yeah,
I have. When COVID hit in May 2020, I was working for Deloitte Consulting, traveling all over the country 90% of the time, and contracts ended. I was laid off. I quit cutting my hair and shaving. And this is what happened.
Well, ho, ho, ho. Welcome to the group tonight, Quentin.
And okay. Believe it or not, I have appeared up in Piqua.
Whoa.
A couple of times at the country club there.
Wow. That's great. Well, we also have Barry Blankenship, and he's with the Water Group. And Barry, what does Water stand for?
It stands for Woodsdale and Trenton Environmental Resistance, a group we formed here in Trenton to fight the data center projects that's going on here.
Yeah, and you recently, did you have to go up to Columbus for the House Bill?
I did. I went up there for House Bill 646. Had a wonderful time. Had a good speech. I had a lot of great people up there talking in support of the bill. it was an interesting time. And I'm trying to do this not only for my community, but I'm doing it for Quentin Kids community and all the other communities throughout our state.
That's a good thing. What happened at that House bill meeting?
We had some really good testimony, and what it looks like is going to happen, it's going to go to a third reading possibly next week out of four readings. That way we can get it advanced on through the House, because right now they do need to do something, because it seems like our local governments around here aren't up to speed with what's going on. They don't have the proper studies that are needed to figure out how to build these big data centers, because now we're not talking about your small data center of 10, 15 years ago. As Quentin and I both finding out, they're now talking hyperscale data centers where you're looking at 1 million square feet and upwards of 500 megawatt of power or more.
And what we're looking at in Wilmington, the first data center that's going on is 4 million square feet. And
I don't know what we're getting here. All I know is it's got 846 acres of land. And like I said, that's when I saw the trees finally getting cut down today.
Looking about 4 or 5 million square feet, if not more, right, Quentin?
Right, because the second one that's underway right now, and the city just approved the annexation and the rezoning of the property. The first one was $4 billion. This is $6 billion. So if you're looking at the same scaling up, you're talking another 6 million square feet. And I believe it's a total of about 1,100 acres.
Now, what type of environmental problems are you anticipating with these data centers, Barry?
What we're looking at is a lot of carbon dioxide that get down in these lower valleys where they have to recycle their generators. And like when I was up with Quentin Kidd in January, it was 252 generators that they're
252 generators. They range in megawatts from 2.75 up to 3.0 megawatts in power. So these are not that small on that. And you're talking, you know, so you multiply 252 by 3, that gives you some of the idea of the power that's going to be on standby for these facilities. Barry and I went up to Hilliard. What was that, week before last, Barry?
Yes, sir.
And we met with some of the Hilliard people right there, and we met with the group that's dealing with the fuel cell technology. And, you know, Hilliard found themselves where they lost their voice on being able to oppose that or having local control over the fuel cell technology. And they're talking about it's down in a little basin where those fuel cells are going to be putting out about 1 million pounds of CO2 every single day. And then there's a worry that that's going to accumulate because CO2 is heavier than air.
Yes, it is.
And what happens when you have maybe a thermal inversion in the summertime?
That's a concern.
That's something I don't think people really think about, because we do know during that time your pressure does force things more to the ground. And then you're really talking about your health impacts starting to come on, like they're seeing in Northern Virginia, where they're talking about upwards of $20 billion per year just in respiratory injuries with what we're seeing through studies. And then you're going to start seeing that in Columbus. You're going to start seeing that in Wilmington. You'll start seeing it here because we're all in low-lying areas.
Well, where we're at, some strange things happened at a meeting I was at this week, and they were saying, well, we have enough water to provide for the plant because our new water plant puts out 6 million a day, and the new places would only be 2 million a day. I said, okay, that's fine. What are you going to do with the water that's left over? Well, the water that is remaining that has to be retreated will be sent to our sewage plant. It'll be retreated and then put back into the river. And so they're saying that we have the ability to take out the contaminants. Well, I'm saying, okay, as long as we have that controlled, you're not going to go down into the aquifer, are you? And they said, no. And so they're going to get treated water to begin with, and then they're going to put their effluent back to the sewage plant, and that'll be retreated and put in the Miami River. So they're saying that we shouldn't have any problems with water. And as far as electricity coming in, it will be AES supplying the electricity. And the city of Piqua is on AMP, American Municipal Power. However, we do buy from JPM, which is basically the big power combine for the East Coast of the United States that supplies, I would say, 3/4 of the power necessary. And so if you generate, let's say the city, and I'm going to just make a hypothetical number, uses 4 megawatts a day, and you add more data centers to it, and let's say that suddenly increases by 3 times that amount, the city is not going to be supplying the power for that. It's going to come out of AES. And so that's going to have to come in from JPM, which is up on Niagara Falls and on the East Coast. And they supply the backup power. The backup power also for industrial use for Piqua, if it increases or the air conditioners are turned on in the summertime and you get a demand on that, then we have to buy from JPM too. So we're looking at possibly our rates going up using AMP and supplemented with the PJM. So
go ahead. A lot of these data centers also have an uninterrupted supply agreement with the suppliers, the electrical suppliers. And, you know, data centers provide critical infrastructure. There's a lot of things that are critical to our life that are there. And what that means, they're level 1, just like a hospital. So if anyone's power is going to be cut, it's not going to be the data center. It's going to be our houses. It could be a nursing home. Most likely won't be a hospital, because, and they'll have a generator supply there themselves. But the data centers are going to get the priority demand on power.
Yes, they are.
Now, what's that going to do to the environment, though, Barry?
What that'll do to the environment is, well, if they have to start their generators up, it's going to be bad. But the thing that a lot of people haven't talked about, and I don't really think our group has talked about, is to produce that power at these fossil fuel plants, which my wife and I have been looking at on an app. We can see hour by hour how much pollutants are putting out into the atmosphere. They're producing millions today, millions yesterday, and to increase it, like for our situation, 800 megawatts of continuous power, then you're still multiplying not just what Clinton might have to use there in Wilmington if they have to kick on theirs, or we have to kick on ours. We've got every one of these other fossil fuel providers pumping continuous poisons into our air that we got to breathe every day. So, I mean, it's just a terrible situation that nobody's looking at and to even trying to study to figure out what can we do to solve this? What is the cleaner way? Or what do we need to do with the data centers until we can figure it out? Nobody wants to do that. All they want to do is build, 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 like what you were showing there at the start of the show. And then that way they can say, well, we're trying to compete with China. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. We have over 5,000 data centers in our country right now, which is almost more than everything else in the world combined. But yet we're saying we're in a race, we're in a war. Well, if that's the case at 5,000, I think we're pretty much winning that war at all cost.
It looks like it, but I'll tell you what, when you look at the stuff that's going into the air, and you take a look at all the things that you could have causing different types of illnesses. You've got respiratory illnesses. How about EMF, electromagnetic force illness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can run into things like that. And then what's the offshoot of that?
The problem with that is, and we've talked to some people that does line work. They can only do line work for a certain amount of times in their life, and a lot of them end up with cancer. And that's the exact same thing that you're going to do with people that live around these high-powered substations or these high-powered voltage lines that people see running across them now, the 765s, the 345 kVs. I mean, it's just all a big field. And what it is that's got a continual hum, just like what we try to talk about with the noise from the cooling fans. When Quentin and I talk, or we talk to other groups, nobody really talks about the hum from these high power substations and the EMS that come from them, because there are just so many different angles you got to look at. It's hard to see everything at once or in a day's time. How much water, how much EMF, EMR, PFAS. There are just so many different angles it's hard to keep up with that nobody's really wanting to look at or study. And I think before we do something like that, those studies need to happen.
Barry, you know, we were up at Hilliard a couple of weeks ago, and then you also went to New Albany, and Barry had took a noise meter along with him to measure the noise outside of these things. What was also interesting was the one at New Albany, Barry got some nighttime pictures of that. And I had used AI to create a mock-up of what it would look like. It looked just like that. It was the light reflecting off the clouds. You know, we've all been driving across country and you see this light bouncing off the clouds 20, 30 miles ahead. That's what a data center is going to be like. And what that does, it affects not only the wildlife in our area, but migratory species such as, you know, hummingbirds, or even the monarch butterflies. We're part of the pathway of the monarch butterflies, you know, going, migrating up to Canada and coming back down through. So these things impact everything. And I don't think the people who are in charge of mitigating these impacts have an understanding of what they're even dealing with. And I'm sure you've heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect. They don't know enough to know that they don't know enough, but they think they know enough.
We think we know, and then they don't know.
Right. But they believe they know.
It's like I tell people, you know, if you're going to do a project, you think it through from the beginning to the end, all aspects of it. And when I worked with the state, if we were going to propose a spending project, we would look at every angle, not only how many pieces of equipment we had to have for a certain facility, who was going to supply this, who was going to supply that, what type of equipment, what type of housing you needed for everything. I mean, everything from soup to nuts had to be thought of. And it was actually on a spreadsheet that you had to follow before you took that project to the next level. So my guys in the field would do their thing. Then they would send it to the area manager / deputy director, which I was. And then we would send it up to the director, and we'd have to explain things to them. And then to get their funding, they would have to turn around and go to the next highest person above that to get the funding. And it was all, everything had to be thought out in advance, in detail, before they would say, okay, we'll get you the money.
And I know Barry has experienced this and been told, all of the people who are concerned about data centers, all they're doing is spewing misinformation. Yes. We're the ones actually doing the research out there. This last week or so, I spent multiple days talking about going through the Port Authority's frequently asked questions about data centers. And it's disturbing to see how much misinformation that they do. They use what I call weasel words. You know, they just tell enough of the truth to make you think one thing. And the other thing they do is I call it fiction by omission. They don't tell the whole story about what's going on. And then that's what they're telling the people who are voting on this. Yeah, of course they're going to think that we're, you know, henny penny or whatever that is with the sky is falling, and we're not. You know, these are things you have to plan for the worst case and hope that it doesn't happen. And Barry, did you see that letter from the Jerome Township EMS service
talking about their freak? The fire department, the chief.
Right.
Yes, we talked about that, and it became a topic at our city council how that they've got those issues fixed. But from what I've seen posted on other group pages, they're still having problems there. And even the fire chief wishes that now this is a decision he had never signed on to when they started that project because of all the issues I've had.
Now, where is Jerome Township, Barry?
Jerome Township is just north of Hilliard, if I'm correct, isn't it right, Quinn?
I know it's up next to Hilliard. I don't know exactly where it is.
And maybe the Dublin area?
I'm not for sure on that. When I looked at the map, I could see that it was just north of Hilliard, right there around the loop.
And what's interesting, too, about the EMS stuff is there's a new requirement that has come out regarding training for volunteers. And we're rural here. And Clinton County is this county of 42,000 people. Wilmington is 12,500. You have all the townships around us. They rely on volunteers. And the state is upping the training requirements to they're having to take nearly the same amount of training as a paid firefighter. And these people work other jobs. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't take the training. Yeah, they need to take the training. But now we're going to have a deficit of personnel until they get trained up. And there's no plan to train these people or provide the equipment to deal with the hazards that are going to be at a data center. There's no training on how to deal with the lithium ion fires if one happens, and they have happened at data centers. There's electrical issues, that electrical arcing that can happen. There's hazardous chemicals on site, and those are all proprietary information, so they're not going to tell you. The issue at Jerome as well was they wanted the emergency personnel to have a background check before they came on site,
which delayed them 30 hours in one of their incidences.
There was a couple of people who the delay contributed to their deaths that were on the site.
Two people, to be exact.
Right.
You couldn't call that negligence, could you?
Not at all.
By design?
I think what that was lack of preparation and a lack of being able to get everybody together on the same page between the data center, the construction crew, the fire department, EMS. In order to do something like that, I think that your fire department, EMS, fire chief should have full control to be able to go into a facility at any given time to do anything they need instead of having to worry about sitting at a fence or at a guard shack trying to get clearance to get through into something that's that locked down.
Yeah, maybe that's something that should be an ordinance, Barry, that in the event of an emergency, they can't keep fire police off the site.
I think it might be something I have to talk to Mayor Perry about.
Not only that, maybe they need to, shall we say, amend the Ohio Revised Code.
That needs to be done too. And I hope that Ohio 646 can at least get a study in that to do all of that. Because I noticed through 646, fire department wasn't really talked about, or fire issues, safety issues as far as health. But they covered a lot of other areas. But I did notice at the meeting this past week, while I was down yesterday, there are a lot of people are now starting to talk about fire safety, health, because now they're seeing, oh, there's another side to the story that we might have missed. So they might have to amend that. And that's something I'm going to try to get with Representative Click and Representative Dieter about, and let them know that this is something we need to add, because if we don't, then we're still going to end up in the same situation as what Jerome Township did, or Quentin wasn't up with me this past week. But I was up talking to the same gentleman and another lady that was there, and they told us that what they know of was two Bitcoin mining facilities had caught fire. But the problem with that is data centers don't have to report any type of fire. They're protected by that, and that should not be no matter what. I think if it's a fire call or if it's an emergency call, if somebody got hurt, a death, that should be automatically reported to where people know what's going on.
And you take a look at a lot of fire departments around the area, paid fire departments, okay? They don't have all the equipment that's necessary. They have the basic stuff, and they might even be under
equipped. Wilmington doesn't have the equipment.
I'm not even going to answer for Trenton.
Well, I can answer for Piqua, and I'm telling you now, they were short-staffed for a while. They got that under control. They needed a ladder truck for probably 5 years, and they had to borrow one from Troy or Sydney to come up and handle a couple of fires. And finally, enough heat was put on the city commissioners that, hey, I think we need to buy a new ladder truck. It only takes 2 years to make one. And so now they got the money for it, and they bought a new pumper and a new ladder truck and a new ambulance. One fire station, they don't have the people to handle it. And that's going to be a problem. You get a fire in one of those facilities and you don't know how to put that stuff out, and they don't give you access in there until everything's finally cleared, you're going to have one heck of a mess. And if they're using PFAS to put the fire out, what's going to happen with all the effluent that's down on the ground with contamination of that?
Right into our aquifer.
Right. And they had that problem at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base with one section, because the base fire department would go out and practice in this one location, and they were putting out fires with PFAS. And they started to find out that the soil was contaminated, and so they had to remediate that. I don't know if they finished it or not.
Well, the cooling water that's used uses a PFAS as well. I think, Barry, you mentioned that they said that they could get that out of the water. But if you have a plant of any age, and I would say of any age, anything more than a year old, and you didn't know that there was going to be a data center coming to your area, it's probably not built to take care of that. And here in Wilmington, we're part of the Little Miami watershed. So the wastewater treatment plant is going to dump into the creek that goes into the fork that leads to the Little Miami River. Also part of this watershed drains into Cowan Lake, which also goes to the Little Miami watershed. Cowan Lake, people have talked about where there are eagles out there. I went out yesterday. I pulled up the state map to see where eagles' nests were. So yesterday, after I got my oil changed, I decided to take the long way home. and I drove by where the map said the Eagle's Nest was just to confirm it was there. It was there. But what was interesting is I also found one that wasn't on the map and reported that to the state. Now, it's on the other side of town from the data center, but I was driving down 73 and I just happened to look over and saw this nest probably 50 foot up in the air in the crook of a tree.
Well, see, here in Pequa, we have, well, for a long time, we didn't have any eagles, and now they have come back, and now they're along the Great Miami River, and a friend of mine, Scott Phillips, that has the American Wood Shop on PBS, and he has a nice lake behind his house, and he makes sure that that area is kept clean and the water is clean because the eagles like to roost up in the trees. And the city likes to get their city water from that lake. It's called Rocky Ridge Lake. And it used to be a gravel pit. Well, these birds just love that area because of the fish and the fresh water and everything. So they're coming back.
There's been someone who has shared some photos they took of the eagles here in Wilmington. And I'm going to say they are here in Wilmington. And these eagles were up in the tree right across US 68 from where the data center is going to be.
I don't think they'll be there once the data centers go in.
We have two eagles that's about half a mile from where our proposed data center is going to be built. And we feel like it's the same thing. They're going to migrate somewhere else. They're not going to want to stay around with the sound and everything else is going to go on. And speaking of sound, Clinton knows as well as I do, you do as well. They emit sound. There's no way around it. But we were told from city council that they were up in Hilliard and they were at one of the data centers. And it was quiet when you got outside. I mean, it was like you could hear the vehicles more than you could hear the data center. It's like, boy, that must be nice, because just about every study that Quentin has seen, I've seen, other leaders of other groups have seen throughout the state, that's just not the case. And like Quentin was saying, I took a meter with me. When you're registering in DBC decibel ratings, 80 to 90, and you're still a good distance away from these data centers, that's not quiet. And that's what people have to listen to constantly.
And the DBC is not in the normal person's hearing range. So, yeah, it's going to be quiet because you can't, you know, it's like a dog whistle that's up so high pitched you can't hear. This is the other end of the scale.
But then what headaches do you get because of it?
Well, I'm not trying to say it's in a bad way, but it's going to cause migraines, and my wife has those quite often. And
go ahead, Barry.
It's going to cause insomnia. It's going to cause regular migraines. It's going to cause a lot of breathing difficulties. It can even raise your blood pressure or your heart rate. It's more than just something that's, well, it's like listening to your microwave or your washing machine. We've heard that story. Quentin's heard that story. Well, you go out and mow your grass, don't you? It's going to be quieter than that. Yeah, I mow my grass. It might take me an hour, but I'm not listening to my grass being mowed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And there's been some studies done. I had found those early on when we first became aware of it, when Jess mentioned the DBC with the group that she was talking about. And I went out and searched for studies, and they affect learning of children in schools.
Yes,
they and do. We have a school within, it's 3/10 of a mile. The edge of the playground is 3/10 of a mile from where the first data center building will probably be. And the sea wave travels up to 2 miles.
Correct. And it a brick wall isn't going to stop a sea weighted sound. a wall that they want to build around these data centers 8 foot tall isn't going to stop sea weighted sound. It's going to come into your house like sitting in front of a bass amp. If you're at a concert, you hear that bass amp, boom, boom, boom. That's what you're going to hear inside your house. It's not going to stop it. You're going to feel it. You're going to possibly hear it, may not hear it, but you're not going to know it's there.
And it's what about vibrations from the plant?
Right. A lot of vibrations come from these things.
And then what would be the effect on people because of the vibrations and the low-pitched sounds?
That's all is going to tie into how your body responds, because your body is never going to be able to shut down at all. You might be able to sleep some, but you're not going to be able to get in deep sleep. That's going to be part of the insomnia, part of the migraines. It's just like everything else. When you feel vibration and sound, you can take it for so long, but you can't take it continuously. And that's what it's going to be. We're not going to get a break from it, no matter where you're at. There in Pickaway, you're not going to get a break from it. Wilmington's not going to get a break from it. We're not going to get a break from it here in Trenton. You go up to Hilliard, you don't get a break from it. And that's just something it's nonsense, really, is to think about, well, we're going to put this in because we're going to get a lot of money. A lot of money doesn't do anything when you got a lot of people getting health problems.
Especially when you have to wear ear mufflers on the whole time to drown out the sound just to be able to sit at your table and eat dinner, right?
That's correct.
Well, you know, the video that was shown earlier with the woman talking about giving away too many incentives, I think towns like ours, like Piqua, like Trenton, need to dial back on that. You know, we don't need to compete in a race to the bottom on this. We have things that they want. If they want to come here, let them pay for it. You know, yes. They're talking about, hey, we're going to give the school $1 million a year. What they don't say is, we're not going to have to pay that other $8 million we were going to have to pay. And yeah, there's a lot of impacts from this. And maybe we're going to have to do this because of this, how far it's down. But the incentive part is giving away money that could make generational changes to our schools and to our community. And, you know, the sales tax alone for Clinton County on a $3 billion equipment purchase, you're looking at $45 million for the initial purchase. And then that equipment lasts 3 to 5 years. So you're looking at another $1 billion every year for 15 years. So the tax on that's another $15 million that could go to the county. And that's what part of what we're giving up. And you're not only giving up the impacts on our health, but we're giving up the money that can improve our future. You know, they want us to be the tech capital of the world. You're giving away all the money that could make that happen. And these jobs aren't coming to Wilmington. They're not coming to Trenton. They're not coming to Piqua. They're going to Boston. They're going maybe Cincinnati, maybe some in Columbus, but they're going up and down the East Coast and West Coast in the large cities. They're not coming here.
They can only do it remotely. 50 jobs at the most per facility, and that's about it.
Right.
Barry?
I would agree.
What?
I would agree with that. This could be very few jobs no matter what. I think that we were told that we could have anywhere between 30 and 80 workers per building for 4 buildings. Okay, if that's a story you can tell me, but I'm not buying it, because when we've talked to gentlemen in Hilliard and everywhere else, you might have 15, 20 people on a shift, and that's going to be about it. And most of those are security guards and janitors.
And you'll have the people who's going to be switching out that $1 billion worth of equipment every year, who are going to be going by the racks and putting that in there. And what's interesting, I saw something on those, even though on those racks, they would come in prefabricated. So the labor to build those is happening in some other community. Right. That's not happening here. The generators, you probably have seen them go up and down the interstate and not even notice it. I saw three semis with low boys, and each one of them had two generator on them. The packs, I can't think of a good word to use it, but there's no, these were the they were generators, and they're in a package on the truck. They, you know, got the walls. All they have to do is set them on the ground and hook them up, basically. And we're looking at a site where the Caesar Creek Flea Market used to be, and it closed down. That site was about 70 acres. It sold last October, no, November 13th of last year for $10 million. 71 acres, $10 million. And what we're, purchased by a company out of New Jersey, and then headquartered at that exact same address, was a shipping company that specialized in special types of equipment. You know, the big pieces that will come in for the data centers. So we're looking at about 7 miles outside of Wilmington, a staging area. I assume it's going to be for all of the data centers in this region. You know, you pull off of 71, you pull into the facility, you switch loads, you maybe drop off, it serves as a transit point. So, you know, when we're talking about data centers, we aren't only talking about the data center itself. There's a whole bunch of ancillary issues that go along with this. I was doing research around one company that's only been in existence since 2023. And our data, and it's the end of 2023, I pulled up the incorporation papers, and it's a Cleveland company, and they have been buying properties here in Wilmington since then. So they're accumulating those rental properties. You know, hey, the sellers are getting more money, but we have a shortage of housing in Wilmington, and Wilmington's not a wealthy town. It's median income of about $48,000. And so that's going to be the other impact. We're going to be pushing people out of town because they can't afford the housing that's going to be demanded by the construction workers that are going in. And we saw that.
We're getting to the point where...
I know. I was watching my clock here.
I'm watching the clock, and I'm going, oh, there's so much stuff to cover. And, you know, we just get into this topic. And see, Barry, see what you got into?
Hey, I enjoy it.
Hey, we have fun. Hey, guys, we've got to scoot. Thanks, Barry. Thanks, Quentin, for joining the show, giving out all the information. And, Barry, what is the name of your group again?
Woodsdale and Trenton Environmental Resistance.
Better known as WATER. And correct. We all need water. So with
everybody
that,
needs it.
You got it. With that, I've got to say, sayonara. We will see you Sunday for Money and Change at 7 p.m. And then next Wednesday. Who knows? We might even have some more things on data centers. Check it out. We are on YouTube and Rumble. With that, see ya.
See ya.